Welcome to Boston Music Explorer. I'm Dan.
I'm Jack.
And we're the Barton Brothers. We're songwriters and performers that are newly based in Boston.
This podcast is our excuse to talk to people who are doing interesting things in the Boston music scene. If you're doing something cool, we want to hear about it.
If you like what you hear and want to send some love to the algorithm gods, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And enjoy this episode of Boston Music Explorer. Hello, friends. Dan Barton here. Today on the podcast, we have Ryan LaPearl. Ryan is a performer and songwriter whose main hustle is as a street performer in downtown Boston's Faneuil Hall Marketplace. I've started performing there this summer, which is how we met, and I thought it'd be really interesting to talk to someone who's been street performing for a while, in his case, 5+ years. There are plenty of household names who cut their teeth street performing, like Ed Sheeran, Andy Grammer, and you'll hear us talk about Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls and her own solo projects. She talks about her days as a living statue in Harvard Square in her popular TED Talk, if you want to look that up, Amanda Palmer. But street performing definitely isn't for everyone, and it takes a certain grind and humility to show up every day in a location that no one was really asking to see you and crank away for a few hours and put together a living. Ryan has been showing up for years, so he has that grit, and with a really professional sound and setup, audiences are impressed enough on a daily basis that Ryan recently quit his day job to go full-time. In addition to that, we chat about the college circuit, co-writing, and more, and then we'll wrap up with a few tunes. A few orders of housekeeping business. First of all, apologies for the delay in episodes. Consistency in podcasting is a tough business, it turns out. So appreciate your favorites that show up every week. I'll be going through mine to leave some 5-star reviews just based on that alone. But if you enjoy what you're hearing here, inconsistent as it may be at the time, tell a friend and please leave a review of your own. Second, Jack and I will be in Nashville at the end of this month, August, for the CD Baby DIY Musician Conference, which we are really looking forward to. If you'll be there, please reach out so we can connect. You can find us most active on Facebook and Instagram at The Barton Brothers and TheBartonBros.com. As far as Ryan LaPearl, he is most active on his Instagram, rlapearlmusic, also ryanlapearlmusic.com. That should do it for me, and enjoy this chat with Ryan LaPearl, and we'll be back soon.
My name is Ryan LaPearl. I'm a musician. I'm born and raised in New Hampshire. I live in Cambridge now. I've been in the music Boston music scene for about 10 years now. I started off, I'm a singer-songwriter, but I street perform over at Faneuil Hall. This is my third year. And before that, I actually street performed at Harvard Square for maybe another 3 years.
Okay.
So that I've been almost street performing for 6 years now,
okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I went to audio production school at a small certification program that was a part of BU. It's called CDIA, the Center for Digital Imaging Arts in Waltham.
Nice.
It was attached to the BU communication program. I think 3 years ago, it got BU dropped it, and now it's just an independent school.
Oh, okay.
Because they have like a sweet studio. They have because they do it's graphic designs. Web design, audio photography. So it's like all the digital imaging arts. They're trying to like capitalize on it before like YouTube. You can just go on YouTube now and pretty much watch.
And learn the whole thing.
Yeah. How to use Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Cool. Got it.
That was my audio production school. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, very cool. I mean, we met because I just started street performing at Faneuil, and I'm trying to have some people in there because I think it's a really like interesting world, and anybody who's been doing it for this long. You really want to, because it's, I can already tell just a month in that it's not for everybody. Like, some people just aren't built to do 6 straight years of, like, showing up every day and just, like, churning out the stuff on street performing. So what do you think makes it like work well for you? What turns you on about it? Like, why do you keep getting out there?
So I actually, when I came to Boston, I was a music teacher for kids on the spectrum. Okay. And I actually did that for, I just left it back in June.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
And most people are like, what are you doing leaving a comfortable job? And right. I'm just like, well, I'm in a fiscal okay place. I want to pursue music and I'm doing well street performing now. Yeah. I've really like figured it out. I'm gonna just do that. My manager just texted me this morning and she was like, are you burnt out yet? I was like, yeah, I am. And so from the other angle, doing it every day, yes, yeah. It's tiring.
Yeah.
Like it takes a lot on the body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like dragging your stuff out there, yeah. Setting up. And then I literally sleep in because I'm just like so
yeah.
like kind of like what tired.
What were some of the tricks that you figured out over the years that kind of have boosted your financial success with street performing?
Street performing, really, I mean, I watched the Vryaks, like I was saying to you, Dan.
Yeah.
And like...
The people who are like pogo jumpers and like yeah. Escape artists and stuff like that. The people who can like really draw 150 people.
Exactly. And like a lot of them, I'm not going to say numbers because this is recorded and they probably don't want that to know. But like they do well. They do better than a musician
oh, yeah.
playing music. Like I play... My max, I'll play 5 hours if I want to sing the next day. Minimum, I usually try to get 3 hours in because I can usually make a daily living that is comfortable for myself.
Yeah.
Especially like this is only, it's seasonal. And this is my first time going into the winter, not going to be having a job.
Right. When it gets to be 20 degrees, like, oh, I don't have to play. I have a job. Like now you're like, okay, what do I do when it gets to be
20 degrees? Well, I need to squirrel something away because right. yes, I'm making money now,
right.
but that's not going to be the same come
yeah.
January or right. February. So I've always been lucky enough to have a day job and something to support me. So this is the first time I'm taking a really risk for myself.
Yeah.
And but I'm excited and it's opening me up so I can, like my album, I re-released it that I made at school in 2013. So that's 5 years old. The original part of the album, I only added 2 tracks to it.
Okay.
The original part of the album was released in 2009. So it's old. It's almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
I haven't really put anything out. And I was street performing and then I was working a job, street performing. So I get tired and I'm like, I want to make more music and be a musician. And,
yeah.
So like bringing back to your question about what do I do to be successful street performer? I mean, obviously play the songs that are...
People want to hear.
Yeah, that people want to hear. So like I do a lot of covers, but surprisingly... I always throw in an original and people dig them. Like my older stuff, yeah, like they'll still dig them, but my newer stuff. And so that's kind of exciting for myself too.
Yeah.
But yeah, you play songs people like, it's a performance. Like I was saying to you, Dan, you're putting on a show of
yeah.
some sort. So if you turn it into a show and you believe it, I think that will be make it you more successful out there on the street.
As opposed to just being a jukebox and like...
Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some musicians, I think Ryan Jordan, he has like a book that people can go up to and like, he's like, pick a song and I'll play for you. And I bet that works great. That would kind of nothing against him, that would kind of crush my soul a little bit because I just feel like I'm just like doing what you want.
Right, like, so you don't take a lot of requests?
I do. If it's like people ask, I always go, hey man, it's slippery slope, you can I'm probably gonna say no to everything.
Yeah, right.
I play what I like, but I like pop music, so I play a bunch of pop songs.
Yeah, we were just listening to your cover of Shape of You.
Okay, yeah. So, really yeah, awesome. Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's some songs I enjoy. I think pop music is great. I think it's just as good as, you know, Bach's, you know, Ninth or Fifth Symphony. Like that was pop music back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So,
actually, I listened to this other podcast called "And the Writer Is." They talk to So they, I like it. He, who's the host? What's his name?
Ross Golan.
Yeah, Ross. He goes, classical people, like, they have this like airness to them, and he goes, all you are you're covering. You're a cover band. You're a 200-year-old cover band. That's what you are. So I love that. And
that's
like,
really interesting.
So
that's
like awesome. I take that when I cover a pop song. It's like, it's no different than a
an orchestra covering Beethoven.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like you've really like professionalized the operation like this many years in. Like, I see you with the lights out there. Your sound system is like on point.
Yeah.
And so like along with like. It seems like, yeah, communicating like a professional gig is like what makes people want to like stop and watch. And so if you were communicating, because like right when I started, I was like sitting as a piano player, like sitting down and not interacting much with the audience, just kind of like being background music. And if you act like background music, people will treat you like it and will walk by.
Yes.
And so I started like standing up, even if no one's really paying attention, talking between songs. Because like then people start like, it's like, oh, this must be a performance. Mm-hmm. And then they stop. So like, I don't know how long it took you to kind of like, on that learning curve, like understand how to treat them. I still don't
understand.
Yeah.
Like, I even said to you, like, doing a hat pitch is weird.
Yeah.
Like, you're like asking people for money.
Right.
It's never, I don't find it comfortable. But it's a part of the job.
Yeah.
It does get the attention. And then it lets people know. Cause like, I mean, when do you go into the grocery store and they don't have prices?
Right.
And you then pick, you go, oh, bananas are 15 cents a pound. I'm going to get some bananas.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's a good price for me.
Right.
I like bananas. I would have walked by the bananas if they, A, were $2 a pound.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, okay, never mind. I'm not getting bananas. But so, I mean, I think about myself the same way. It's like, I give a price and some people are going to walk by. Some people are gonna go, wow, I like what this person's doing.
Yeah.
And I want to donate and tip and contribute to their career.
Right.
And you're like, to me, I think in the beginning, you'd think you weren't doing, like, you're like, I'm just playing music.
Yeah.
Like it's something I love to do.
Right.
But I love interacting with the crowd and the audience. And so, think about it. If the people were walking through Faneuil Hall or anywhere for any street performers, and then there was no music, music's
terrible.
It'd be a terrible experience.
I guess we should say, for people who don't know, Faneuil Hall is this like huge like tourist mecca of Boston.
Yes,
and it has a sponsored street performer program, whereas like everywhere else in the city, you can just like, you know, pick up your guitar and start playing, but Faneuil Hall is auditioned, and there's like different spots around that they have acts going 12 hours a day, which is really unique. And they've been doing it for long enough that
unique in like the world.
Yeah.
Like there's some of the variety acts that are coming from Ohio.
There's
one variety act, he's from Australia.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very, Faneuil Hall is kind of a hidden gem.
Right. Really unique performance opportunity. Yeah. And, you know, like you're saying, like, it's obviously, it makes the vibe better there. And there's a reason they must keep doing it. It must, like, it must be good for business. It must be good
for everything. I was actually just talking to one of the vendors, and it was at a location that we struggle with a noise issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're...
Indeed.
No, yeah, okay. She really enjoys, you know, she's like... I enjoy Vivian. I enjoy you guys being here. Like, you bring you lighten up the family.
Right.
It makes it better.
Right.
Know? Not just the ride, but the music too. So that's bringing back to what is successful is like, that is what I think about. I think about, I'm enhancing the streets, or at least not the streets, but like the area of Faneuil Hall or Quincy Marketplace, and like making it, better. I mean, and I didn't realize that until literally probably the last couple months, like people would send me messages on Instagram or emails and be like blank and blank happened in my life. Like I walked through and like it made my night so much better. Made my experience. And they were from like California.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, New Zealand, Australia. They're like, you really made my, and that's where I was like, oh, I am affecting, like I am offering a service.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So like, I look at it, I'm offering a service, and then it's a service that I'm doing for free. And if you are enjoying it, feel free to, it's no different than Patreon online.
Right. You know what I mean? Good point.
And so Patreon's just nice cause you can kind of set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Where like this, it's like a hustle cause you go out.
Every song is a hustle.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
That's how it does get exhausting. But, you and I were talking, like you said, like hat lines, the things that Variety X are really good at saying, like, just like amping people up to like, who's the first person to give me $20? And like the whole crowd goes, whoa.
Yeah, so they're, and I've talked to Bry Axe.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like they're,
you should just try that. Yeah. That was Piano Man. Yeah. Anyways, wants to give me $20.
Well, they have a specific, this is like very,
the psychology of it. Like,
well, this is inside baseball.
Okay, cool,
like,
cool.
They do something that's called like crowd building. So you want to build a crowd, and then you build a crowd, and then I guess the crowd gets built, and then you make that crowd make noise, which makes other people go, what's going on over there? And then everyone wants to see. I mean, who doesn't want to see? Right. I would too. I'd be like, there's a noise. What is that? That person's about to hang? Whoa, I want to watch this. Right. And then next you know, they have 200. I've seen maybe 500 people around some of Rye Acts.
Right.
And then there's different things you can do to let people know like what your worth is. And they know all those tricks. I'm not gonna give them all.
Right.
But yeah, like they would be, I don't want anyone coming back to me being like,
are you blowing up my spot?
Yeah. You're on a podcast. I'm feel free, I'll tell you after the podcast. But like, so essentially they do those things and then let the crowd know their worth. And same thing. I mean, they're delivering at live entertainment. And where can you see live entertainment?
Yeah.
I mean, besides going to a venue, but like coming, street performing is great because it's kind of like the idea where, remember in like New York, they do like, was it Improv Anywhere?
Yeah.
That group.
Yeah.
That group?
Right. The Flash Mobs.
Yeah. Flash Mobs and stuff. Yeah. It's essentially that's what street performing is. It's
right.
Like, and so you're like, I'm offering a service, boom, right here. But I need to put food on my plate and
right.
pay my rent too. So
yeah, and doing that in a way that's like authentic to both you as a person and to your act. You know, I can't get people amped up in the same way that a Variety Act can. So
one thing we like to talk about is obviously you're super local. You said New Hampshire.
Where are you guys from?
We're from Colorado.
Oh wow!
But we, nice. You know, we kind of just wonder like, was there ever a moment where you considered a New York or an LA or any of your options, or why have you stuck around here
Chicago,
for so long?
Nashville, yeah.
Fear. fear of leaving Gas the known. Having to rebuild. No, I mean, that's true, but I started school, I recorded, and then I had a day job, and I was just more, it was more of like a fiscal thing where I was trying to get, you know, get some debt taken care of.
Yeah.
And like, I knew making a move, I guess was scary and it was unknown, and I knew Boston, so I'm like, well, okay, I'll work with what I got here type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you grow up in New England, I'm sure you have like a lot of ties, like high school friends that are here, like it probably
true. I don't really see so many
high school friends.
One of my high school friends is in Denver, and then the other, my mother, good high school friend, is in Austin, so no,
okay, not really no, even no, no, scratch no, that
It's more, I live in Cambridge and I love Cambridge. I love the vibe there. I started playing like the open mics, and I started off, this is before even street performing. I was coming out. I played like the Lizard Lounge, and I try to get inspired by other songwriters that come through, and I started writing. And then I hear things about horror stories about LA, like LA is so big, and I always think about you'd be like a, it's just oversaturated.
Yeah.
And then how can you make noise in an oversaturated place?
Yeah, right.
Especially when everyone's trying to do what you're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. And then New York, I just knew the rent there is wicked high. I'm like, what? We're 3 hours from New York, so if I really need to go to New York, like,
yeah, I can get there.
I can get there pretty soon,
like, without paying.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there is something to be said about being in an area that has a community that you can kind of grow as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm kind of island-esque. You know, I'm a what do you call it?
Lone wolf.
Well, I'm a local and I'm a solo. Like, I do a thing with a loop and pedal. Like,
yeah.
I try to be in a band. So I came up with my album and then I had some family member get sick. And then I was like, I came up with the album. I started to be in a local band. They kicked me out.
Brutal.
Drama.
Yeah, no, it was. Well, no, the drummer wanted me. And then I think the guitarist who was like one of the like lead like creators of the band, him and I kind of butted heads a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, they kicked me out, which was great. And then I just was like, okay, I'm going to do a solo thing. And then a family member got sick.
Yeah.
I re-released my CD with some new tracks to kind of like up myself.
Yeah.
I started street performing, and then really the last 5 years, I've just like, well, street performing has been great. And then I just met a manager, and I've been going back and forth from Nashville. Not a ton. I just went like once, and I'm hoping to do it again, but like I've been co-writing down there.
Nice.
And so now here I am, and I'm like, now that I don't have a day job, it does give me the availability to, you know, to perform here, come the colder months, I can tour around and like kind of see where this year's goes. So to answer the question, why not New York, LA, or Nashville? Even when I went down to Nashville, a majority of the songwriters I was working with, they're all like, all right, I got to go work my bar job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, 100%. This is sweet. Like once again, Faneuil Hall is like such a sweet thing where I can go make music and work on my craft.
Right.
And not work a bar job.
Right. Yeah.
So
in 3 to 5 hours a day, you can make what you might be making at in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so that is really interesting. So you're kind of contemplating or open to a move, but realize like what a kind of unique situation you've got right here. And so,
yeah. And being like, maybe I can just move like tour around and stay and maybe do like a month in Nashville.
Yeah. In the winter.
And then come back. Like, why do things need to be permanent
no need to uproot your whole life?
Especially with the internet now and we're so connected.
Right.
Like,
I get that feeling too, that you can be anywhere at this point. Like,
yeah,
everything is so like remote.
I guess that's the one thing I didn't say too, like, you know, with YouTube and like SoundCloud and like Instagram, like you can connect with fans and grow and like be seen and heard and create your own kind of fan base without having to be in LA and then get a record label find you, and then Justin Bieber was found via YouTube,
right?
And not to say I want to be found and then get a record label. I see it more in the sense of like Amanda Palmer or so many other artists that are doing, like, I was like, man, okay, I need to do a Patreon and like doing it to where, I mean, do you know who Amanda Palmer is?
OG street performer. Yeah,
she is. Well, actually, she, I have a funny Amanda Palmer story. I was playing in Harvard Square. This is when I used to play there.
And that's where she used to be a like living statue.
Yes, she was a living statue. And so you've seen her like TED Talk.
Yeah.
And so she, who's she not married, but like she had a child.
Oh, Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, so her and him walked by me.
No way.
This is like a, you know how you asked me about like street performing, you're like, like, you know, what do you do on those bad days? I tell myself, like, I don't know, I'm just like a gritty person. Like, I grew up in like a blue collar family. So I like the whole like idea, like you put in your day's work.
Yeah,
and
street
performing is that. And so I used to go to Harvard Square, man, and I just had my little street cube. I didn't have a nice system. And I play out there and I play for 4 hours at least. And some days, you know, I wouldn't make anything almost.
Yeah.
And like, I remember it was a day I was like breaking strings and like,
oh my god,
it was windy. You know what I mean? Like even like
the world is conspiring against you.
That's what it feels like. And like, I'm just like so frustrated, but like I'm like taking it as like a, you know, like it's adding character to me or something.
And yeah,
then,
right.
And then there's Amanda Palmer walks by and throws a $20 spot into my pot, and
there
she
goes,
keep on. She's like, I'm just like, thanks, Amanda. She just was like, hey, I'm just gonna go by the street performer. I know just how casual. Hard they say it. Yeah.
And you have a moment.
Like, thank you, Amanda Palmer.
You want to get up here and say it?
I've actually bumped into her a bunch of times. I bumped into her. Because she lives in Cambridge.
Does she still? Yeah,
I don't know if she still does, but I know she's always, I follow her on Instagram.
I'm sure they have a place here, yeah.
Yeah, and like, one time I saw her in like Boloco. There used to be a Boloco in Harvard Square that mm-hmm. just closed. And like, I was like, hey, Amanda. And I'm like, how's your out? Like, she was just like releasing her new book.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, oh, it's going great. And like, so, but yeah, she's so inspiring. She's so, you see that she like, had a late, she was with a label and they dropped her, and so she's like, okay, I'll take my 20,000 fans I have, and she ended up getting what, $2 million or something
on Kickstarter. Yeah,
on Kickstarter. So it's like, I kind of feel that too.
Yeah,
like I just want to keep on growing my fan base and right. like be like, with Patreon and everything else, I feel like everything's gonna be okay. I don't know, it's like when you go out street performing and you're just like, I don't know what you're existential beliefs are, like religious, right. but like I always kind of like have good faith in yeah. the world and like just lack of better. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm spiritual, and so mm-hmm. like you can say universe, but I'm okay with saying God. So it's like I just believe in, like, you know, not that things are shining down on me. He's like, oh, Ryan's a good guy.
Yeah, man. Nice work. Yeah.
Like just more, just like
it's a 10 spot.
Yeah. more like it's. Like everything's good and everything, like it almost like in a more karma
thing,
like I'm doing what is good for my heart and soul.
Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
putting giving, in the work, you're getting out there, you're doing good
stuff.
Yeah,
I guess putting in the work, I guess more of like I'm doing like what my vibration in the world should be, and it's gonna come back.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. That's,
yeah.
So thinking about, you know, huge jump to leave the day job and it's working. But you can already...
Yeah, it's only been a month.
But well, yeah, but still, like, it's like, congrats on that.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
All of a sudden, I'm sure, like, it has hit you, like, okay, when it does get cold, like Boston does, like...
That's why people go to Nashville or they go to L.A. Because you can perform on Venice Beach, man.
Right,
you
know? Snowbird, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so do you have that sort of thing in mind? Like, as you're like, okay, so now I'm a full-time musician
mm-hmm.
and you have like kind of one stream of income that mm-hmm. is at least somewhat seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think about like where you see yourself in a year, and how do you want to like kind of like diversify your income portfolio? So maybe you're not like so dependent on getting out there every day. Is there anything mm-hmm. you're thinking of adding in and mixing it up to kind of make it work?
Yeah, Bitcoin. No, check. buy now, it's low. No, more in the sense of that's why I left my day job, so I can start to sow those seeds this year and mm-hmm. like put out a cover album, put out a new original music, grow. I just picked up a young lady that's going to school in Belmont. She's managing me, and she's awesome.
Where did you connect?
Streets.
Sweet.
I mean, the streets, dude, man. Like, I majority of the people, I actually just sat down with a financial planner.
Shoot.
Met on the
Very
streets.
Cool.
So like now I'm not feeling as worried about this just fiscal upcoming year.
Yeah.
She's helping motivate me to put out, you know, get stuff recorded. I'm gonna have a single. I haven't recorded it yet, but I like I said, I had the home studio, so the next 2 weeks I'm just gonna like grind it out and get a single out to release the end of the month, and then that will get me in the flow. Talking about creative flow state, I listen to a ton of like podcast. This is so meta podcast. I love podcasts. Like, when you asked me to be on podcasts, I was like,
hell yeah,
yes, my first one. So I listen to a ton of like things that are getting out of your own way and just creating, and obviously like finding the flow, but like just like sitting down and doing the work and like not beating yourself up if you didn't do 5 hours that day recording. Like, it's all about like setting yourself up for success. And like, yeah. So that's what I'm looking to do. I do need to get some content out this summer, cause you know, it's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be working on songwriting and I'm down with songwriting with people here too. Cause like the one thing that I will say is not happening here in Boston that I see happen in LA. I have some friends that moved out to LA. Mm-hmm. They're really not doing anything different that I'm doing here in Boston.
Right.
But the one thing they are doing, there's a community, there's a songwriting community.
Right.
And so I guess for me, I'm trying to, and right now I'm talking it. I'm not walking it yet, yeah. But I'm hoping to start building a songwriting community and yeah. like get people connect and be like, hey, let's just get together and write for an hour. Mm-hmm. Be it, and that's something I don't really see in Boston. I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Everyone's just kind of doing their own thing and be like, oh, that's cool, you're doing that. Yeah. I don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's cool, you're doing it. I don't want to work with you.
Right.
And so
it's not that it feels like unsupportive, because everyone's like,
more like, oh, that's cool, you're doing that, sweet. There's this competitiveness a yeah. little bit, like you just do your own thing and not community
right
because
co-writing is not exclusive to Nashville. Like, I don't know what there no. it's a mindset no. thing no. but yeah. there isn't a lot of it going on in Boston. So,
and a majority of it's so funny, like a lot of the other performers that are musicians at Faneuil Hall, I've spoke to them and I'm like the songwriter, and they're like, yeah, I need to release a single, but I'm looking to like organize and be like, they're all going to school in Nashville, mm-hmm. like, or in New York, but like they're here too,
right?
Like there's a songwriter that I met that does a showcase in Nashville. I follow her on Instagram, and I haven't connect with her here back in Boston, but she's back here in Boston to do a photo shoot. Like, people are going back and forth and back and forth. Right. Like, you can connect with people.
Right.
It's not, exclusive to just...
It, right.
I mean, 1995, yeah, sure.
Right.
But I feel like the internet is making it so... It's, I don't know, yeah. more collectively yeah. together.
Southwest has cheap flights all the time, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, back yeah, and forth. Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, we're open to co-writing.
You could co-write via Skype.
Oh yeah, you know I know people who do that pretty yeah. successfully. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah,
right on. And then college shows.
Yeah, so I play colleges. Been in the college market for maybe 5 years now, on and off. I'm actually excited. I just got a showcase out in Michigan.
Nice.
At the Mid-America. Other ones I've gotten a couple, they're like alternates, so it's like I could get called up.
Mm-hmm. So you just pay the money to like sit on the sidelines and hope
you yeah get yeah but you get it returned. Mm. So people don't know there's this thing called NACA, it North stands American for College. National Association yeah. of College Activities.
That's right.
And so it's great because they obviously pay well, so it's like you can go to a gig and get paid what actually I think all of us as musicians should get paid.
Right.
Sadly, there are far and few between. You don't obviously, I mean, if you're really good, you can get a good showcase and showcase almost every area. You could fill up your calendar pretty quick.
What does right. the showcase look like? Is it, I'm assuming you're doing original music at these college showcases, or are you doing your
famous? I'm still doing cover stuff, yeah, yeah. But they are looking for original. And like, I talked to my agent for, who he's actually based out of Nashville too. So like, I have everyone that's like based out of places.
Yeah. Right. 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 Right.
I'm in Boston, but, he even said to me, and he's like, are you gonna have any new original stuff? Like, I'm like, I am. And I just was like so burnt out, day job and then street performing day job. Mm-hmm. And that's why something had to go, and I get rid of this day job.
No. Yeah.
No, I worked there for 10 years and I was like, all right, I want to do something different.
Yeah.
And people change careers all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel confident that my music's gonna do well. And
yeah. Like,
I mean, even last night at Faneuil Hall, you would thought it was a variety act. I had probably 100 people around me.
Dang.
It was crazy.
Do you do anything different than normal, or you just...
I had the bucket drummer going behind me, and I just was doing my thing.
Yeah, West End.
The West End, nice. Yeah, West End's great. But it was great, and I'm just like, oh, wow, okay. I have something to offer, so I'm going to I'm going to continue to create and share it with the world.
Yeah, you need to hold on to those moments, yeah, when they come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I see on the other angle, like, they're going to... I'm at a precipice where it's like, I'm ready. You know what I mean? Like, I've done the work. I've, like, practiced. I've street performed. I have my craft is ready, and I'm ready to share more, and that's going to happen more.
So yeah, right.
That's where I see it.
That's awesome. And so, like, oh, to tell you, like, how do they work, these college showcases?
Oh, yeah,
I was actually, my job in college was, like, be in
the person. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's so funny.
So I went to one in Tacoma, Washington. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, a group of college...
Denver would be west. Yeah, west. Yeah. Northwest, yeah.
So, like, you know, a group of college undergrads, just, like, thousands of them descend upon, like, a conference center for a weekend, and just all weekend just, like, get paraded with these acts. And you know,
it's very showy,
right?
It's
who are the college kids? Like, is it, how do you,
like the people who are in charge of booking campus acts on?
Oh, colleges. Okay, I see what you mean.
And yeah. So there's a, like, a budget. Each college has a budget to bring, you know, whatever comedians and musicians and whatever to, like, entertain people in the student centers all year. Or even
something like a jump house.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, it's like a company that, like, puts on, like, hey, we have jump houses, what's your event?
Wow.
So, or, I mean, there's obviously, like you said, musicians, magicians, like, hypnotists, but then there's, like, the virtual reality things, and, like, that's all that company does, and they're like, well, there's a market for that, we'll bring virtual reality headsets to your school, and
right.
Because their colleges have so much money to spend, like, they kind of have to get
just like entertain these kids,
to
entertain
the kids. It's within their budget, so that's why the pricing can be really nice, because it's just like, well, that's what the price is, because they just have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they just get, like, paraded all weekend, and so
people give away free stuff.
Yeah,
they're like, free shirts, come to our booth. I mean if anyone's ever been to a conference, like, it's always like, if you go to, like, other, like, a tech conference, it's always like they got, like, Skittles or, like, lifesavers. It's like, take a lifesaver. Hey, can I have you sign this thing?
Yeah.
With that, it's, like, very over, because it's college. So it's like, hype it, and then give away stuff, and then have us come to your school.
And they'll book you on the spot if they like this stuff to come.
They'll book you later. I mean, there's tricks, like, you get, if you're in the book, like, I'll be in the book for Mid America.
Yeah.
And then I'm actually roving. Right. So they do showcases. So you either perform high spotlight, where you get 10 minutes to do your act, which that's where, like, a lot of, like, the big variety magicians, they do have big bands that get to, like, you know, Ryan Cabrera would probably be a high spotlight, or if you were, like, a winner on The Voice or something,
right,
then
yeah.
they could, like, promote it, and it's like a big hype thing.
Yeah, right.
But then there's low, where you get 5 minutes, and then there's sampler, which I've been a sampler before, where you get 1 minute. There's like 5 acts that get 1 minute a piece.
Brutal.
And then literally. Oh, no, sorry. Is it 5 minutes? Maybe. No, I think a slumper, you get only 5 minutes. Yeah, sampler, you get 5 minutes, not 1 minute. And so I literally just did like 4 songs. I was like, okay, next song. And then roving, you get all day, but you're unplugged and you're playing, and you get to walk around the conference. You're not on a stage. So this is where street performing comes back in.
Yeah, if you're a good salesperson.
Yeah, and so, like, literally you just go up to schools and be like, hey, can I play for you, and get hype? And they be like, this is my agent, and, like, they can talk to you. And so it's literally 24 hours of performing. So I'm doing that.
High pressure.
Yeah. I just did it in Buffalo and played some school. I had a couple of schools book me, and I think I have some schools booked this fall through that. I did the Buffalo one, which was Mid-Atlantic. But yeah, the Mid-America one. I mean, I think I've roved almost everyone. I don't know. I have, like, the showcase that one on my website. But yeah, NACA, it's a hustle.
You get a college agent, like, they pay for your NACA fees and fly you out and stuff like that, and just, like, kind of take it back? Or, like, what does that all look like?
No. They take 15% off of, or 20, is it 20? Might be 20% off of what the colleges charge.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, say this is not the number, but say it's 500, they take 20% off or something like that. and then the schools pay for your travel.
Cool, yeah.
To the conference, no, you pay for your conference, you pay for your fees. What the being on agency is great is like, so I'm going to be roving to have, be like, go please see my agent, his booth, we're in that booth, they can go talk to the agent and then book me. So there's someone representing you.
Yeah.
He cold calls, he does with the contracting, so I don't have to deal with that contracts. Nice. He pays the NACA fees, which it's like a lot.
Yeah, substantial amount of money.
That's just the annual fees, but you actually have to pay for your showcasing fees.
Okay,
you have to fly yourself out to the conferences.
Yeah.
But in good hope that the school, if
the school books you, it's just an investment. Kind
of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the whole business idea.
Yeah. Did you connect with your college agent also through street performing or?
No, actually I was with the agency through cold calling when I first came here. Mm-hmm. That was Boston Event Works, and then they got liquidated.
Ooh.
And I was just 2 years ago cold calling agencies, being like, hey, I've been in NACA, I'm looking for a representative. I tried to represent myself for a year, didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I should let someone else do that.
Yeah.
And so I started cold calling, and it was actually a friend of mine that I met at NECA. He used to have ACT with his wife, and he is now, he's like, actually, I started my own agency. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I wasn't even thinking to join it. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. Congratulations. Because he like shot me a call, and he's like, actually, would you want to join our agency? I was like, Obviously. Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to. Because I was getting a couple callbacks from a couple of other agencies, and I was like, oh, I'll join. Like, I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Like, we had a friendship. I didn't want to impose on our friendship.
Right.
I was just like, oh, that's good for you. But then he offered it, and I was like, sure, this actually might be a really good thing. And it has been.
That's great. That's really cool.
And he's based out of Nashville, and it's called Brave Enough.
Perfect. So, nice. Yeah,
they're great. So.
Well, I guess it's about that point, since we want to leave you time to sing some songs for us before you have to hit the road.
Yeah.
So do you want to get things set up? Or?
Yeah, I guess we ought to. Anything you want to wrap up with, something that's working for you, where you see yourself in a year, wherever. We have yet to like create our like
our signature sign-off.
Yeah, exactly.
I will be at the Precinct Kitchen Bar. No, I'm
joking. There you go. Yeah, anything you want to promote? Yeah.
No, I guess, just follow me on Instagram if you're interested at all. It's just R LaPerle, LAPERLE music. Or you can just go to my website, ryanlaperlemusic.com. I think I own ryanlaperle.com too.
Just indeed, yeah. We were just there. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
But yeah, I'm going to, in a year, have a new album out, growing, being on the road, touring, getting to actually not just meet people at Faneuil Hall, but meet people across the country or the world. So
cool.
Yeah.
Right on, man. And do you know what you're going to play for us?
Yeah. I'm going to play just one song or two songs.
Whatever you want.
Sure. I was going to do a new... I mean, since obviously I do covers, I guess I can do a cover. But I did want to play a new original.
Please. We'd love that.
It's called Only One. I co-wrote it with a gentleman named Nick Boyd down in Nashville.
Okay.
And it was literally, I just met him. That morning or that night, I had this melody in my head and I brought it to him. I'm like, hey man, can we do something with this? And then him and I just hashed it out and we wrote this song called Only One. And I think it's an awesome song, so I'm going to share that.
All right, good deal. So, is this the single that you'll be releasing in the next, by the end of the
actually, day? I guess I should just play originals. Yeah, I'll play Only One, which I'm excited about, and I'll play Heartbeat, which is the single that's coming out at the end of the month.
So, okay, sorry. Right,
here we go. All right, perfect.
Let's get it set
let's
up.
Let's do it.
This is Only One. Toothbrush on the counter and laundry on the clothespin. We're up and down, no steady trains. I hate when we get like this, 'cause I don't wanna be the only one pouring out my head and not to you. Like a satellite, baby, I'm losing touch. So the signals don't know you're getting them, 'cause I don't wanna be the only one. Into love, is that what?
what you want. Cause I don't wanna be the only one, only one. I don't wanna be the only one, only one. But trust me, I give you all my minutes. If the door is open, I wanna be there. Be there when you're smiling, even when you're crying. We're up and down those steady trains. I hate when we get like this. Cause I don't wanna be the only one. I'm pouring out my head and not to you. Like a satellite, baby, I'm losing touch. Some signals don't know you're getting them. Cause I don't wanna be the only one. Into love, is that what you want? I don't wanna be the only one, only one, only one. It feels like the only one, only one, only one. Cause I don't wanna be the only one. Pouring out my head and not to you. Like a satellite, baby, I'm losing touch. Sick signals, don't know you're getting them. Cause I don't wanna be the only one. Standing at the memory of jump. In the love, is that what you want? Yeah. I don't wanna be the only one, only one, only one. Baby, feels like the only one, only one.
Song. Here we go.
Well, I can feel your heartbeat. It's burning like the sun's heat. I can see the fire in your eyes. I can still breathe this air in. You are my oxygen. I can feel my lungs a deep dive. I can't explain in words what to say. My tongue always seems to get in the way. I know my love for you is forever strong. Cause you show me the light when it's dark. Cause I can feel your heartbeat. It's burning like the sun's heat. I can see the fire in your eyes. I can still breathe this air in. You are my oxygen. I can feel my lungs deep dive. I feel the blood and pushing through my veins. River overflows now through my brain. You're the rock that I can stand on when I'm lost. Your eyes lead me back home from the war. Cause I can feel your heartbeat. It's burning like the sun heat. I can see the fire in your eyes. I can still breathe this air. Oxygen, I feel my lungs a deep dive. The burning of their feet, the rhythm of this beat, the gravity falls. Don't look down, you see your heart stands for me. Always catch you when you fall. Cause I can feel your heartbeat. It's burning like the sun's heat. And I can see the fire in your eyes. I can still breathe the seven. You got my oxygen. I can feel my lungs. I
Thanks for having me.